Couples Nation, clearly we're leveling up here. This is our second podcast of
Bobbles After Dark.
Wait, let's say it sexy. We sound dorky.
We are dorky though.
Let's do it again.
Okay. Well,
welcome, Bobbles Nation,
and beyond,
to our second podcast
episode ever.
And we are here with I need to work on this voice.
Yeah, we'll practice.
I gotta start smoking.
For sure. Immediately.
I'm running to start smoking.
Yeah.
Remember when you lost your voice and you've never sounded better?
It was the hottest thing ever.
Hottest. Well, in any case, we are here for a very exciting episode and our very first guest that we've ever had. And this guest is very near and dear to our hearts.
Yes, so we were thinking even about who we wanted on the podcast, we knew who our first episode was supposed to be with.
For sure. Not only is she an incredible human, not only is she stunning, not only is she talented, not only is she incredibly brave for being the first franchisee to embark on this journey and pave the way. It takes a lot of guts to follow your dream.
It does.
But she's in the studio today, live from Hingham. It's Megan. I love how I call her Megan in Hingham, by the way.
So
wait, let me do the applause. Wrong one. Please hold.
Yay! It's Megan in Hingham.
I gotta taper that applause. It sounds fake.
Oh my god.
Well, welcome, Megan. We're so happy to have you here today.
Hi guys.
So
thank you so much. I mean, you pretty much made my dream come true. So thank you.
Yeah, I love it. And we were saying it's perfect because we were having some technical audio difficulties. We clearly need a sound engineer here.
Yeah.
But we met her mover.
Yes. But in the meantime, Megan makes the background of her podcast look absolutely perfect.
Perfect.
And that's how we know she's perfect for the brand.
Correct. Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, Megan.
All aesthetic.
I'm so excited to have you here because I think you have such an interesting story and such a pathway to becoming an entrepreneur and are even doing it differently than some of our other franchise owners. So tell the audience, enlighten us, tell us your story and how you got to being an entrepreneur today.
Well, it's a long story.
I love
I'm it. Old.
22.
But it, honestly, I feel like if you're a fashion girl, if you're an entrepreneur, it's kind of embedded in your soul, like pretty much born to do what you're gonna do. For as long as I can remember, like my mom was an antiquer, so she would drag me into some antique barns in Vermont and New Hampshire, and I just got bored and would start looking at all the vintage clothing and all the jewelry, and just the bold statements were just so attractive to me and different. And so I kind of played around with vintage, but also like my mom was a teacher. So she would bring home the costumes after like school plays. And I would just like dress up with these like really elaborate gowns or these really crazy outfits. And I just always loved it. That's like all I can remember.
I can't believe that you, this California glamour puss, grew up.
You did. You glowed. You glowed.
On a farm, like antiquing. That's
in New Hampshire.
That's so funny.
Yeah, horses. But then we would vacation at my aunt's in Long Island every summer. My dad's from New York. Both my parents are from New York. So we would spend every summer in Long Island. So I loved the beach. But inevitably, like, grew up in a very small town.
Was your mom into fashion?
You know, she had impeccable 70s style. My dad and my mom were in a band together.
Oh, that's so cool.
Hot.
Called the Truly Needy Band. She sang. My dad played the drums.
Wow.
So, and my grandmother, I never met her, but my dad's dad drew Archie Comics. Do you guys remember Archie Comics?
Yeah,
he did.
He was the comic artist for Archie, and then my grandmother was like, fashionable, but I just never met them.
Wow. You know, it's art and fashion and it is all kind of intertwined. So I'm not surprised that you have that gene.
It kind of just like, yeah, it was kind of just like my world. Like my dad would have his band rehearsals with his band guys. And I was so embarrassed. Like that. I'm like, stop being so loud.
It is embarrassing.
And then the horses were like in the next room. So like it just kind of was always a thing.
Rock and roll and horses.
I love it.
Yep.
Pretty I think it's my dream, so, actually.
That is your dream.
It was animals a pretty cool childhood. But it was boring once I became a teacher. So, like, I was just ready to bust out. I got into FITM, which is a fashion institute in L.A. My mom and dad were like, no way. We're going to fund that. We'll help you, like, pay for an in-state school, but not for California.
So off to FITM you went.
I didn't.
No, she
you
didn't.
You
wouldn't help her. How did you... I had a similar scenario growing up where my like hopes and dreams of studying fashion were not supported at all.
Yeah.
How did you deal with that?
I was severely depressed.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
But
medication.
I went to school in New Hampshire and at Plymouth State, and I mean, all my friends were just partying, and so instead of partying, I walked downtown. There was a woman opening a boutique. And I started working for her, like, every chance I could outside of class. I studied early childhood, but, like, every chance I could, I was working at the boutique. She started bringing me on fashion trips. Mm. I started merchandising and doing more in-store work. And then also, like, of course, like, modeling and all that crap, too.
Right, because you're gorgeous.
Stunning.
Well, it was, like, newspapers.
It doesn't matter. So I don't know where along the way people started not believing in the legitimacy of women's commodities. Mm-hmm. Because it is probably one of the top businesses consistently in the economy.
Right.
So I don't know where or how somehow it's not taken seriously as a business or a career or a road to follow. And I do think that we're entering a time where that's beginning to change. And props to people like you who are living it and doing it. So,
but for you, for starting this, I mean, how many years has it been?
How many years has it been?
100.
Yeah.
100. No. we're getting close to that 20-year mark, although I know I don't look a day over 22.
You don't.
With my Dora the Explorer haircut. So, you know, hang on to your youth as long as you can, ladies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get into designing?
So what you don't that know about, like, let people know about what you do, because it's really, really amazing. So in Megan's store, she's a designer. She's a beautiful label called Meadow that is really an extension of her. And I don't know, if you ever meet Megan, you're just going to want to be her. So she's, anything she's doing, want in. So, she has a really cool eye. So, you can definitely do, where can we see your Meta line, by the way?
So it's in store, and I started it because, again, like, vintage shopping, high school. I remember, like, wearing, like, one of my mom's, like, vintage camp t-shirts and ripped jeans, like, for days on end. And my mom's like, you need to stop wearing that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but it's just cool. It's like, you know, it's old. It looks like ripped and stuff. So I loved vintage, and I loved just the sustainability of it, honestly. But Meadow is found in store. I launched it 2022. So it was kind of just like in high school and in college, I would make my own clothes out of vintage clothing. Whether it was like a long, huge, ugly dress, I would cut it and wear it to like the pumpkin festival or like to a friend's wedding. I would just kind of make my own dresses so that I wouldn't be wearing the same.
How do you know how to sew? Wedding.
Yeah, how'd you learn to sew?
I learned how to sew in Quincy, actually.
How?
So there's
did you take
a woman, Sienna, she did, it was COVID. I had a baby and I was like, I need to get out of the house. I need to do this. So basically I took classes. I took a couple classes of like an hour long, like one-on-one, and picked it up really quickly. Both my grandmothers sewed. So I think it was like every time I turn on the iron, like I just feel like I'm like, this is like nostalgic or something. I don't know. Like I'm supposed to be doing this. But yeah, I picked it up really quickly, and the bow top is the reworked men's shirt, and I kind of made a couple of those based on a old surf shirt that I had from California that I really loved. It was like a men's shirt, and I just couldn't find anything that was really flattering. I was having kids, and the boobs, and the arms are different and everything, and so that's where, like, kind of like the Mumu style dresses and the oversized men's shirts just became practical clothing for me because they looked really pretty and they also were flattering and they were one of a kind. So I kind of learned how to sew and kind of just made them for myself at first. And then I was at a cousin's wedding after my second child and we were up in New York and somebody walked up to me and was like, "Who made your dress?" And I was like, "I did, I don't know." And my sister and I looked at each other and just like, it's time.
What a moment. I think there's always that pivotal moment where you realize like, aha.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, that's incredible. Now tell us about were you brave enough to take that leap? You saw our Instagram video saying, "Hey, anyone want a bottle?"
Oh my God.
Just like that.
Lindsay, just like that. I'm pretty sure it was up for like 2 minutes and got an email from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Tell us why.
I was struggling in Massachusetts. I was like, the industry out here, like I had lived in California. I had worked in New York. I just wanted fashion in the South. Like I wanted to have the beach house and the fashion, which is hard.
Yeah, it is for sure.
And so I was like ready to throw in the towel. I was telling my husband, like, we're moving to Charleston. We can sell our house and buy a freaking plantation. We're out of here.
Yeah.
And your post was literally like that day where I was like, I'm done living here. And I just, it was a no brainer for me. You guys had launched like a virtual styling position during COVID. So people couldn't shop in store. You asked out there in the world if you knew any, you know, people who wanted to do virtual styling. So I had been posting on my own Instagram images from your website, dresses for people who were still doing stuff and going to weddings. And I got a couple of hits, and it was really fun for me to get creative like that. So the second you decided to franchise, I was like, downtown, hang up for nothing. I think that same day, I either talked to you, and then I drove downtown, took pictures of this disgusting space, and sent it to you and was like, this is the space. That's the train, by the way.
I think I said it's perfect.
Yes.
It's perfect.
It was a jump. Perfect. We're like, we love it.
We love it. We'll take it.
But it was a no-brainer. And then after that, the balls just kept rolling and everything just fell into place so perfectly. Yeah. And I met you guys and I said, these are my people. This is everything that I've ever wanted. It's not a foo-foo fashion job. Mm-hmm. I walked into your home office and it was girl boss office after girl boss office. And everybody had their role. Mm-hmm. And it just was like, this is insane. This is like, I felt like I was in the episode of Kardashians, honestly.
Oh, I love it. Oh, that's such a compliment.
Which one am I? Can I be Kim?
We're the
I'm Kris Jenner, let's face it. I'm Kris.
No, you're not.
I'm Kris.
That's the old Kris one. Kris is awesome, though.
Okay, I'll be Kris.
Kris is the brain.
Just kidding. Kris, if you're listening, because you know they're going to obviously listen to our podcast, I'm really happy I'm you.
Honestly, it's such an, I mean that in the most flattering way. Like, it is business, but also it's passion. There's so much passion behind it, and it's real, and you love what you do, and that shines through a business. If you have a business that your true intention is like making people feel good and loving what you do, that you can see it clear as day.
Now, there are a lot of people who dream of owning their own business. You know, entrepreneurship and all the hard work that comes into it. I'd love to tap into that a little bit and start to ask you about, you know, bridging, taking that step and learning how to be a good leader and learning how to be an entrepreneur and all of that. So what advice would you have for people out there who are thinking about opening in their own business and venturing out in the world?
You gotta love it.
Gotta love it.
You gotta love it. You gotta want to do it every single day. Mm-hmm. This is something that I was doing and not getting paid for. You know, I've been wanting this for so long that I would do things because I love it. And I think that if you're opening your own boutique, you have to love all of it. Like, I love the accounting because it's my business, and I love doing my bookkeeping. I love theming. I love lugging huge boxes to my truck. I love all of the sweat and tears that I put into it. So my biggest advice is, like, make sure you really love it. Make sure this is really what you want to do, because you're not going to be successful if you're, like, 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
And it's not always glamorous.
No.
No. No.
As much as you think it is by looking at Megan.
Something I learned very early. I think we had some, like, issues with the Wi-Fi, and I was having some IT guy issues, and I was just like, I can't figure this out.
Okay, I remember Alex.
I remember that. And you're like, Megan, you need to go cry in the back, get it out, and get back on the floor.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right, though, in the sense that you have to love it, because it does take up so much of your brain power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we eat, sleep, and breathe our businesses. So, I mean, can you imagine doing what we're doing now, but maybe selling used cars or tires? Like,
no.
It would be miserable.
No. You know what I did before bed last night? I saw that you put more items in the catalog. I immediately, like, opened up. I like, fell asleep to, like, picking out new things.
Yeah.
Exactly, with faves.
Yeah, and your store is truly an extension of who you are, and your business is an extension of who you are. What do you think has surprised you the most about boutique ownership?
What surprised me the most?
Mm-hmm. What didn't you expect?
That's a good question. Because I think this is kind of, I don't know if this is going to answer it the way people would assume. Mm. I was so surprised how much I was capable of.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, like, I didn't hire somebody to do my bookkeeping. I didn't hire somebody to do, like, I have really done all of it. And that was very surprising that I was able to do that, because I had doubts in myself, I guess. But then once you're thrown into it, you just have to figure it out. And I loved figuring it out. But I think what surprised me as far as, like, owning the boutique, besides all of that, is how much, okay, I don't want to, like, piss anybody off.
Oh, I'm excited. But,
like, listen, we're in good company. This is the kind of juice I want.
Yeah.
Right? I think, like, my idea of staff and my idea of stylists on my floor, if somebody comes and goes, it's not the end of the world. Like, nobody is taking away my business. Nobody is taking away what I've built. If it's not the right position for somebody, it's not the right position. And that's completely fine. And I think it took me a little while to realize, like, oh, like, go do you, girl. Like, you don't have to stay.
Yeah.
No one's taking this away from me.
Right.
And I think that was surprising. I didn't feel like that in the beginning.
Mm.
I really think that managing people ask me what's the hardest part of owning a business.
Yeah.
And I say it time and time again, it's definitely the people management is incredibly challenging, especially if you're a sensitive soul. We're both cancers. We're both crabs.
Yeah.
We're very mm-hmm. soft interior. And, you know, my dad told me years ago, he said, people don't quit a job, they quit a boss. So whenever someone leaves, I do secretly bleed a little from the heart.
Yeah.
We do, because we're human. But, yeah, and no one's ever going to care as much as you.
No, and I think that's, like, what surprised me is I just thought, oh, my gosh, these girls are going to be just like me. They're going to want this just like I did. Because I worked for $12 an hour, like, mm-hmm. hustling my ass off. So in my mind, I'm thinking these girls, like, just planted their dream job. This is what they want to do for the rest of their life, you know?
Yeah. I have a question I'm not going to say it's, like, in defense of women like us in these positions. You know, we have the grit, we work hard, we put our time in. But I think specifically for you, because I've known you now for a few years and been with you through your business, you have these young women coming through your door that want a career in fashion. And they interview so well, they say all the right things, and, like, yes, they love fashion, and yes, they're passionate, but I think in this industry, or at least with this younger generation, there is a bit of a misstep in what they want versus how they show up. So what advice do you give to them so that they can take their career to the level that they say that they want?
You gotta put in the hours. You cannot expect to show up and get it just like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's experience. I think we both can agree that, like, we didn't go to fashion school, and we learned everything that we learned by working in a store, by working for other people, by hustling. And you're not always going to have the best position, but if you work, it's just like any business. If you show up and you keep doing what's asked of you, you're going to climb the ladder. And for me, this is like the peak. This is what all of those years of hustle were for me. This is the moment that was like, okay, here you go. This is what you worked for. This is the best part of the fashion industry, is owning your own boutique, doing your own buying, meeting your own clients, running it in a peaceful way that you want to run it. So if you are looking for that career, like, just know that it's not going to just happen overnight. It could, if you put in the work in 2 weeks, you've proven yourself, like, you're gonna go places. But you can't really walk into a job expecting to have this, like, level in your mind. And I have had friends that have said, like, I just want to travel and, like, do Instagram stuff. And it's like, yeah, well, that's, like, the world that everyone kind of on social media. It's like, that's not necessarily making everybody money. You know, you have to put in the work to have a career, to have a job, to have some kind of foundation so that you can get to that point where you're taking pictures in Italy and, you know.
But, you know, I do have to say that, you know, social media for sure has made people lazy. Because they see these images of girls out there in France and traveling and eating the pastas and doing the things in front of the Eiffel Tower, and I'm an influencer and all of that, but they don't show the hard work that even goes into being an influencer. There's a lot of, not that I know that world as well as the, you know, baubles and lace world. But people love to put their best self forward. It's only natural to not want to show the hard parts of your job. But I do think that it's kind of created a culture of lazy.
Yeah. Or entitlement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, you know, I enjoy working. I always have. So I think it helps make you well-rounded. I think that you need to be able to suck it up a little bit. You know, and find peace in whatever you're doing, obviously. Like, if you hate your job, then find something else. But you got to make a living somehow.
Yeah, I think Kim K said it best. Right message, get up and wrong work. Messenger.
Yes, for sure.
What was the quote? What did she say? She said,
work your ass off or something.
Work your ass off.
Like, you got to wake up and go to work.
No. Oh, there's no fast track. Truly, there is not a fast track.
Nope.
Maybe unless you win the lottery. But even so, there was a lot of tickets you didn't win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of tickets you didn't
win. And then that doesn't feel as good because you didn't earn it.
No. No, it's not sustainable, you know, in the long run. For sure not. What I would like to do is to jump in to a little bit of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have this aesthetic that is so aspirational. So yes. I want to hear what your... tell me everything. How do I look like you? Yes. I'm asking. So I want to know, what are your style must-haves? What are your icks?
Yes.
Okay. Must-haves? I idolize, like, 90s supermodels. I think that they're so effortlessly cool.
Sexy.
Still. Mm.
Smoking cigarettes. Dare I say. Hot.
Hot.
Just cigarette in hand. Even, like,
we're smoking. Miller
was, like, a big influence. Like, for me, like, I just loved her, like, edgy bohemian. And she always had a cigarette in hand.
Is she your girl? Is she your icon?
I was thinking about who, and I don't. So I think because I've really stayed true to my own personal style, and this is, like, going back to, like, I literally lived on a ranch and was a, you know, dated a cowboy and did cattle drives and stuff.
Wow. You did cattle drives?
That's unbelievable.
Are you a killer horseback rider?
I love horseback riding, but I love, like, free riding. I don't want to do, like, dressage or anything like that.
If Megan couldn't be any hotter, guys, she drives cattle.
That's unbelievable.
But it's
she's every man's wet dream.
Oh, my God.
I had to say it. Someone had to say it.
It's just, like, wearing what I like to wear just for, like, my lifestyle has always been a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I think of like my fashion must have, it's boots, it's good jeans, it's a good floral
dress. Wait, what kind of boots? I want the deets. I'm getting everything you're getting. Where am I getting my boots?
So Bobbles and Lace Hingham.
Duh. So I do say
any Bobbles and Lace.
What is really cool is that all of our stores do have a different collection, and
it's really important.
Love that. I want to be able to go in a weekend to three different Bobbles and Lace, and you see three different entirely different collections. But I think what's really special to note about Megan's collection is it's how do you describe it?
I think that it's definitely a representation of like my life, like my what I wear. I think my buying got better this year because I literally brought in, like, what do I wear? What is my community wearing? So my collection is, like, I lived in Southern California. I love, like, beach to the bar to, like, I got to chase my kids around, too. So I have, like, a great mix of, like, going out. I've got my floral dresses, but I've also got my basics. I've got my denim. I've got suits. I gotta keep the working women dressed. So I think the business casual thing has obviously taken off. So we have a ton of that. Mm-hmm. And what's nice is people are, unfortunately since COVID, like a lot of women are working from home. So mm-hmm. they want to have cute sets that are comfortable. They want good denim that's comfortable. They want shoes that are comfortable. We live in like Boston, South Shore. Everything's cobblestone, brick. So we got to have the right heels that you can walk in because there's nothing more unattractive than a wobbly.
Mm-hmm. As good as you think you look when you buy these big wrap-up shoes when you're walking down the street.
On a cobblestone.
Teetering along. And then your shoe gets stuck along. In the hole. Like, not hot.
No.
We did that. Leave that to us. We made those mistakes in Faneuil Hall.
Yes.
I think we made the mistake barefoot. The other day. You got stuck.
I got stuck.
We got stuck. I got stuck recently on an escalator.
I remember walking barefoot through Faneuil Hall because my feet hurt so much.
Oh, yeah.
As a client of yours, I would describe your collection as LA brought to the East Coast. You know, you have a really cool mix of like beachy florals. You have a bit of a somehow Western flair, which is super trendy, but you are also like coastal old money. It's a really, really beautiful collection, and it gives LA to me.
A little effortless.
Yeah, very effortless.
It's beastie. Beastie.
Beastie.
Beachy. Beastie.
It's beastie.
You know who Beastie is?
It's like
you don't have, you have boys.
Yeah.
There's, in Maleficent, she calls Briar Rose Beastie.
Oh, she does. Listen, anything Angelina Jolie does.
Yeah, we're in.
I'm in.
So, what are your fashion icks right now?
What should no one wear ever?
Ever.
Yeah.
What should we burn? We're starting a bonfire tonight, by the way.
What do we put?
A communal bonfire.
I don't want to offend anybody.
Oh, you it's can. Fine. Let's do it. Listen, they'll thank us in the end.
They will.
I cannot handle bra straps. Like, get them out of here. Oh. Your bra.
How about those clear bra straps?
Remember those? Buying in remember those?
Oh, my God. I had those. That is number one.
I had those.
Bye. Burn. Let's burn.
Shania Twain. I went to Shania Twain last summer, you guys. I don't know who her stylist was, but she had freaking clear bra straps in the strapless, like, tube top. I was like, what is happening?
How do you feel about invisible nipple, out of curiosity?
I think you should rock your own nipple.
I love that answer.
Yeah, great. Right answer.
I never wear a bra.
Right answer.
If I do wear a bra, there are bras from here.
Now,
I don't have a large chest, so I can't speak for women who have to have the support, mm-hmm. but show the nipple, girl.
What about Kim Kardashian? What about the nipple bra? How do you feel about that?
I thought she's I'm mad at her for that one. How dare you?
I want to know why. Why are you mad?
Why are you so mad?
Like, how dare you? Like, we all have such beautiful nipples, and you're just going to capitalize on a trend? How dare you? I don't know. I'm annoyed by it.
But maybe your nipples are really even. What about for people that don't? Sometimes mine go all over the place. One goes up and one goes down.
I don't know.
Do you know?
I just feel like that product is how stupid can the American consumer get?
I'll compare it to the water bra.
Oh, I had a water bra. I wish I still had it.
False advertising.
It's false advertising.
I wish I still had it. Because the push-up bras now are too hard. The water bra was incredible.
Wow.
Right? I had them.
We all had those water bras.
They were the best. They were heavy, but like you had jiggle. It was the best.
They were like squishy.
Yes.
Oh, God. Now, what else are we burning tonight, Megan? Because we are going to have a bonfire.
We are burning Oh my gosh. I can't do, I don't know. I can't think of like anything that I hate that much.
Okay.
I think when there's something that's just too overdone, it's too confusing for my brain. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's where I come into my effortless, like you were explaining the aesthetic of the store. But like when you look like you've tried too hard, I can't handle it. Like my brain can't handle it. And so it's not necessarily like a specific trend that's an ick. It's more like how somebody puts an outfit together. Like there's just too much going on. I'm like, no.
Would you take try too hard over give up?
Yeah.
Me too.
Don't give up.
Don't give up.
Give up's the worst.
Give up's the worst.
Because you know what? Maybe they just didn't come to a Bobbles and Lace. So they're trying. Mm-hmm. But yeah. They don't know how.
Okay, so what are some must-have purchases right now to get from Bobbles and Lace Hingham?
Our jeans.
Jeans. Which ones in particular are your favorites?
Everyone's loving the longer short.
Yeah.
Just brought them in. They're, like, already sold out. I didn't even get myself a pair. I think that they're just so flattering. They're kind of like a 90s cut, so, like, think of, like, your 90s mom. They're, like, a wider on your thigh, and they feel good.
Yeah.
And you can wear them with crop tops, you can wear with your bathing suits, you can make them sexy or comfy, but I loved the longer shorts, and I had made some with Meadow last year, so happy that people are liking them. And
let's all just have a moment of amen that the booty shorts are done. Cheers, girls.
Oh, cheers to that. I don't want my ass cheeks out anymore. Let me put them away.
You guys remember, am I allowed to drop like business names?
Yes. Yeah. Whoever we want.
So I worked for LF back when LF was like really cool. It was like beginning of Coachella.
Yep.
Booties were out to a point where like not cute.
Yeah, the cheeks. You had the bottom cheek, and it was basically like denim diapers.
Underwear.
You just had your ass out.
What about this new shorts trend, by the way, that's right now? It's nope, actually not even shorts. It's the no pants trend. Is that a yes or no?
I dig it on the right outfit.
How would you style it and make it cool?
So are you talking about like a sheer dress with like undies under, or are you talking about like shorts and
I'm like talking like
wearing the underwear in public. Like I feel like a lot of celebrities did it at BravoCon.
Yeah, so I want to wear it. So like there's a festival here on the South Shore every year called Levitate. I have been doing my research on like hot ones. I actually would love to wear them to a festival. But I think it has to be the right location. I myself probably shouldn't be wearing them.
I say you should be wearing them.
I think you should. You have incredible legs and your
top. I think if you're like young and tight, I think it's definitely a specific.
I don't disagree. You know? With you.
Yep.
I don't mind it. I think it looks really kind of fun, and I don't. Again, like free the body. You look. I always say, like, you're wearing less than a bathing suit at the beach in front of everybody. So what's the difference between that and, like, walking around with no bra or walking around with, like, some booty shorts on?
I think half of good fashion is just confidence.
Yeah.
Confidence is key.
Confidence is key. When you like your outfit, how much more confident are you? Incredibly.
Yeah. Game-changing.
Game-changing. Completely. So, I always think that you should really find those styles and those looks that you feel the best in, and you will truly be a better person completely. Completely. Mm. Now, what I would like to know, and I'm sure the world wants to know, is also tell us some of your beauty secrets. I know this is a fashion podcast, but we really want to dig in. Like, what are we using? What am I doing? What am I running home to buy?
Yes.
It's so funny that you guys asked this because I'm turning 40 this summer. And I had this, like, thought, like, I should share everything that I do.
Yeah. Well, here we are. Very serendipitous. Perfect.
I love that.
It's fun because I've followed influencers who do that. And I think that everybody who shares is always, like, sometimes new information that you didn't know. So I love that you asked that. Thank you. But I also think that everyone's skin is so different. So for me personally, like, what works for me might not work for anybody else. But I have gone through a lot of skincare. My skin was not always the best. I had cystic acne when I was in my 20s. So I had like a lot of discoloration, pox marks, scarring, all of that. So I always say that like this journey started like when I was 20, so definitely you guys need to wear sunblock and you need to put good things in your body, because the second you are partying too much or not putting the right things on your face or in your body, like it's gonna affect your skin. You know,
do you drink a lot of water? Do you believe in
that? I drink a freaking gallon.
Does it make your skin better? I don't know. I'm a skeptic.
It does.
So my clients laugh at me every time I take a swig. It's literally the giant one.
Yeah.
I have to drink the whole thing every day.
Is that part of your beauty secrets?
Yeah. So that, washing my face at night, I only
use not good
Dr.
news for
Dennis
Lindsay.
Gross.
This is bad news for me.
It's not.
I drink this much water
a day.
She
takes a sip a day.
A sip and I go, hydrated.
Yeah.
I have a coffee and then I switch maybe to wine and then at night. That's right. About it.
But that's like what works
that's
for
your beauty secret.
There's no water. I always say I'm anti-wellness. I'm not really into wellness.
We're seriously considering taking up smoking cigarettes. So yeah.
Right?
Smoking and no water.
This is the
new beauty hack.
Yeah.
So listen, don't listen to me. No. If you're a young girl listening, please
listen to Megan.
No.
I'm not the one.
It works different for everybody. Me personally, I have like severely sensitive skin. It's like so annoying.
How are you so glowing?
Why are you glowing? I can't have dairy. I can't have topical creams that have fragrance. Like, I grew up with eczema so bad that I used to have to like wrap my skin in saran wrap.
Saran wrap?
With like cream. So I have like really sensitive skin. So I think like just learning like, I had a friend who studied nutrition and she had psoriasis. So we kind of learned in college, like, oh, what you put in your body is like going to affect your skin. So it's kind of like a nerdy way to look at it, I guess, but it works. Like if I notice it immediately, if I'm eating different or if I'm too much, that it affects my skin. But I love Dr. Dennis Gross. I think that's how you pronounce him.
Yeah.
Do you use those wipes that he has?
Uh-huh.
You too?
The retinol ones, once a week.
Okay.
The alpha beta peels, probably like close to every day.
Really?
Okay.
I'm so cheap. I used to have those. You know what I would do is I would cut them in fours.
Yeah.
I'd cut them in fours and then use a fourth of one a day because you throw away half the product.
Yeah.
You do. And I use it on my hands.
And your hands.
And on my chest. So like whatever is left over, I just like rub all over. And for skin, like for makeup and stuff, I switched over to that Cosmetics.
Oh, my sister uses that. Yeah.
My mom uses that too. She loves it.
You love it?
It's like, it's SPF 50 too. So you have like the glow and the sunblock and the coverage.
Do you go in the sun or not? Yes. Yes. UV rays or no?
I have to have the sun.
No. No.
I'll just sit out there like a turtle. Like I always say, I'm like a turtle.
Me too.
I love it. Well, I'm running to do everything that you do.
Yep. Me too.
Here we go.
Wow.
Burning the bras.
Yeah.
Not that I really have that many anyways.
I know.
But we want to thank you so much for our session today.
Yes.
Is there any parting words you want to leave the viewers with? Let's do some shameless plugging.
Where can people find you?
Well, I'm on Instagram at Baubles and Langham. That's the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's your personal Instagram?
Style is my personal.
Meadow Style.
I try to share like the same vibe on both. You'll get more of my kids on Meadow Style, but
she has two beautiful girls. Mm-hmm. Wait till you see them.
They're fun. But it's a lot. It's a lot to juggle, but man, I wouldn't have it any other way. They are so happy to have a happy mama because of you guys. So you have really helped me just be true to who I am, and I am forever grateful for that, because before this business, I was definitely not in a great place. Love my kids, loved being a mom, but the future was very foggy.
Yeah.
You love that.
And this is it. This is like the dream come true. The Cinderella moment has happened, and I'm just like living it every day. And it's not always pretty, but it's every day I get a glimpse of that magic.
Yeah. And it's yours.
Yeah.
It's mine.
It's yours. Yeah. We love that.
So much.
Yay.
All right. Well, we love you.
We love you.
I love you, guys.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Megan. And anyone interested, please follow Megan at Meadow Style and at Baubles and Lace Hingham. She's open 7 days a week right in downtown Hingham on North Street.
Go meet her, be styled by her. You will not be sorry.
Yeah.
Trust me. And if we can't make it in, we can just DM you and check you out on Instagram.
Yeah.
Happy to virtually style.
Behind trying to send you videos and pictures, and some of my favorite clients are out of state.
So yeah, you ship everywhere.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we adore you. Thank you for believing in us.
Yes.
Thank you for bringing Baubles and Lace ownership. truly, you paved the way.
Yeah.
Oh.
So thank you for your bravery in
thank you. In doing it was, that. There was no doubt in my mind.
It's all very serendipitous how this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's wild.
And now look at it. Mm-hmm. So many stores.
Yeah, because of you, baby proud. Girl.
Yep.
Because of you. So aww. Thank you. Wait, let me clap. Oh, I can taper the clap. Listen.
I love it.
So perfect. Fun.
Well, we look forward to seeing you next week with yet another special guest in the Baubles world. Until then, how should we sign off? What's the new way?
I always love a cheers.
All right, let's do it.
Cheers to fashion and fun.
Cheers to fashion and fun.
Ciao, everybody.
Ciao.